And to do that, they need to know who their shepherd is. And they do that by spending time, the shepherd spending time with them, walking around them, and like I said before, singing to them gently. They'd walk and sing softly to the sheep. The sheep recognize the shepherd and follow him. Did you know they could put all those sheep in that same sheepfold and the shepherd start singing and his sheep would start jumping out and the other sheep would stay? At night during the lambing season, the shepherds would live literally out in the fields. That's the only time that the shepherds lived in the field. Now, I'm going to take a side note here. We read in Luke chapter 2 about the shepherds watching the flocks by night. And we think, oh, that's so special. The shepherds are always out there and they're always taking care of the sheep. The only time that they were out there in the field was when the lambs were being born. Because when mama, the ewe, was out there giving birth, it's vulnerable to predators. Because she can't get up and run away. She can't protect that little lamb while it's still laying there. And so the shepherds would live out there and walk around while they were giving birth, getting mama and lamb over with the rest of them. Because when she's going to drop, if they keep on meandering over here, she's over here and they're over there. Now she's the weakest link. Predators come in. So that's the only time that they were out there in the field was during the lambing season. When was Christ born? During the lambing season. When the little lambs were being born, the Lamb of God was being born. Amen? Amen. Now see, the Jewish, the Hebrew, they understood what that meant. We don't. We don't understand when we read that. We just go right on by it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night." John 10, 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that neat that the shepherd knows you? The good shepherd knows you as one of his sheep? Are you able, like a sheep, to see what God's doing around you? Are you spiritually discerning what God is doing and when the enemy's doing something around you? Proverbs 29, 18 says, "Where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God." If you don't have vision about what God's doing and what his word says, you're going to go do whatever. You're going to be like that sheep that runs off to the far corner of the pasture just because. But when you are in the word of God and God's word is in you, you'll stay with the rest of the flock. You'll stay over here because that's where the shepherd's at. And you love the shepherd. And he loves you. He knows you. Are you able to hear the voice and distinguish it from the enemy's voice? Eve heard it and listened to the wrong voice. Jesus heard it and responded with the word. Both of them heard the enemy's voice. Are we able to respond the correct way when the enemy comes? And know whether it's the enemy or whether it's God? Do you know how you can do that with a surety? Spend time with the shepherd and you'll know his voice. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the word. Spend time worshiping with the rest of the flock. And the word of God in you, the spirit of God in you, you'll say, "Oh, that's the Lord." You'll recognize it. But there's another way in the word, and I'll show that here in a little bit. First of all, when you hear the voice, ask yourself, who's talking? Is it the steal, kill, destroy, or the life in that abundantly voice? If you're having an opportunity to hear a scripture go through your head, but it's coming at you like a ball bat over the top of your head, is it the steal, kill, and destroy voice? Because the enemy will use the scripture against you to get you to listen to him. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1, it says, "This will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established." When you hear the word of God, you hear the voice of God, first thing you need to ask yourself is, that scripture or that thought that I just had sounds scriptural, but what else does the scripture say about it? Because it's going to be other places in the word that tell you about that same situation. Other places that tell you, this is God's word. This is his plan for you, and you'll see it here and here and here, not just in one place. God never changes. He's not going to come up with something new that isn't already in his word. I'm going to give you some examples out of context, obviously. They're out of context literally and figuratively. Matthew 27:5 says, "Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself." Supposed to follow the word of God. Does that mean we go get a rope? Okay, how about Luke 10:37? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him," then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." One said he wouldn't hang himself, and now Jesus is telling me, go do likewise. That's two different versions, two different places. That's telling me to do something, right? And how about the next one, John 13:27? "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, what you do, go do quickly." So if you were flipping through your Bible and you landed on this one, Judas went out and hanged himself. Then you flip your Bible over here to Luke. Go do likewise. Say, okay, God. And you flip it again and you get to John and said, what you do, go do quickly. There'd be a whole, if people were following God that way and using those scriptures, there'd be a whole lot less Christians around because we'd be having a whole lot of funerals because people would be following the wrong voice. So when you're reading the word, none of those are edifying. None of those are lifting you up. But they're in the word for a purpose and a reason. It may not be for you to walk in those as steps for you to take, but they're there for a reason. Now, I obviously took those out of context only because I wanted to make the illustration that sometimes we're reading along, we need to make sure, what does the word say? And it's not just, I get one verse here. What does the whole counsel of God say on that subject? We need to know. That's how we stay in the word, to find out. These aren't bad scriptures. They have a purpose. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to know what's in the word, because if you look at it this way, if you're going down the highway in your car, that would be like doctrine. You're on the road. You've got your GPS going. It's saying, go this way. And so you're doing it. Your GPS Bible says, go this way. You're driving along in your spiritual life, going the direction your GPS is telling you. All of a sudden, there's an exit ramp. And you take it, and you get off. You're on the exit ramp now. That would be reproof. When your GPS starts saying, recalculating, hey, you're not on the same path anymore. I need to figure out where you're at so I can tell you how to get back. That's reproof. And you keep on going, and it says, okay, take the next left. That's correction, trying to get you back on the path because it never lost where you were going. Correction is to how to get back where you used to be. But you can keep on going and not take that correction, and it'll say recalculating again, and it'll keep doing that until you turn it off. The Word of God is the same way. If you're in the right doctrine and you're following God, if you get off, the Word will show you where you got off. And it also show you how to get back in line with where you're supposed to be. If you're in the Word, it'll teach you. It'll guide you. Then, once you get back on the right path, your GPS is happy again because now it's telling you how many more miles to your destination. And it's all happy. So is the Word of God. And that's training in righteousness. So the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Every time you get off, the Holy Spirit through the Word will tell you. And it'll tell you how to get back on so you can get back on the King's Highway and head down the road and get to the destination we're all heading to. But you got to be in the Word. And you'll hear His voice because the same Spirit that lives in you and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, this Holy Spirit, by holy men of God, under His guidance, wrote this Word. And if that same Spirit that wrote it, the Spirit of God is living in you, you're going to follow it. Amen? Bear with me because our slide changer isn't back there right now. The next verse is 2 Timothy 2:14 through 16. I'll give you a chance to get there. 2 Timothty 2:14 through 16. And while you're doing that, it says, God wants us to understand His Word. He wants us to know His Word and be able to correctly understand what when He's talking to us in His Word. You want to know God's voice? It will never contradict what's in this Word. If God, you ever feel like God's telling you to do something, say, God, you tell me to go do this. Go check the Word. If the Word doesn't say it, which voice was it? Because the enemy wants to deceive. He doesn't want you following God's Word. God will never be mad at you for saying, I'm going to go check the Word. Father, I want to make sure this is you. I'm going to find it in the Word. What you just told me to do, I'm going to go find it. He'll never be mad at you because that's His Word. You're His flock. He knows you. He knows you're going to go ask. He knows you're going to go check it out because He knows you. Amen? So 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to mere ungodliness. He wants each one of us to be trained up in His Word, to know how to discern, how to understand what the Word's saying here and what the Word's saying there. Now, He doesn't start off trying to say, every one of you are going to be Bible scholars with PhD, THD, all these different initials behind your names. He said, I want my children to know me. Jesus in John 17 says, I want them to be with me as I'm with you, that they could know the glory that I had. In other words, He wants us to be relevated, to understand what He is doing, what He's about, who He is. You ever been with the person that you just, the more you were with them, the more you knew about them? And somebody else, they try to tell you something about that person, say, nope, you're not talking about this person because I know them. I spend time with them. The more you spend time with God, the more you know Him. And His voice, oh, is that the shepherd calling? Yeah, it sounds like His voice. It sounds like what He would say, too. Versus, yeah, that sounds like His voice, but I don't think He'd ever say that. I've never heard those kind of words coming out of His mouth before. I'm going to check up on this because I got a whole manual of His Word right over here. I'm going to see if that's right or not. And if you can't find it's right, you know who was speaking to you. I'm going to read the 2 Timothy in the Amplified. 2 Timothy 2:14 through 16 says, "Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of God to avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good, and upsets and undermines and ruins the faith of those who listen. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all irrelevant babble and godless chatter with its profane, empty words, for it will lead to further ungodliness." As we're studying God's word, seeking his face to learn more about him, we learn his voice. You can read a diary and say, "Oh, I know this person. You never heard a word from him. I know them because I can read the innermost heartfelt thoughts that they've written down. This person is intelligent. This person is lovely. This person has got a lot of feeling going on because it's all over the pages." And you meet the person, you say, "It's like I've always known you." God gave us his diary. He gave us his diary. It's full of the love of God, the thoughts of God, the intent, the direction. And as we get to know him and his word, we get to know him. We get to know his voice. He speaks and we say, "Yes, Lord." Remember Samuel? Little boy? Hannah had prayed and prayed and prayed that she would have a son. She's at the altar and she's praying, and Eli, the high priest, thought she was drunk. He said, "Go away." And she said, "No, no, no. See, I have just prayed." And what she prayed was that if God would show favor on her to give her a son, she would give that son to God. And God fulfilled it because she got pregnant. She had a son. After she weaned him, she took him to the house of God, and he lived there with Eli, the other priest, in the house of God, and he learned the duties of the house of God. He was consecrated to God from that moment on. His name was Samuel. One night he's laying in his bed, cot, whatever they gave him, whatever he laid on, and he heard his name, and he jumped up, and he ran to Eli. Then he said, "I didn't call you." He went back and laid down, heard his voice or his name again. He jumped up, and he ran. He said, "No, I didn't call you." Third time he said, "You needed something?" He goes, "I didn't call you," but he perceived, "This must be the Lord. This time go back, and when you hear that voice, say, 'Your servant hears.'" And he did, and God talked to him. The next morning, Eli said, "So, what did God say to you?" Well, he didn't want to tell him what God told him because God basically told him that Eli's out. In no uncertain terms. But he knew the voice of God after he'd been trained to go listen and answer, "Yes, Lord," and see what he says. Sometimes we have to learn to hear the voice of God. We have to be trained to hear the voice of God. God places a very strong position in his word on hearing, and hearing correctly. In Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." When you love someone, you want to spend time with them and you hear them, right? Jesus answered in Mark 12:29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.'" I'm thinking that Deuteronomy scripture also had the "Hear, O Israel." And it didn't copy out here. Because those two scriptures went together. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Matthew 4:4 says, But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to hear him. Before you can hear him, you have to know him. If I walked outside this building and somebody was walking across the parking lot and I yelled, hey, or whatever at them, they're going to turn to see what I'm saying, but they don't know me from anybody else and don't care why I'm calling them. They're going to turn around and keep right on walking. But if it was my son, when he was a young boy, he's going across the parking lot and I yelled, hey, he's going to turn and look. And I said, just kind of look at him. He's going to turn around and come back to me. He's no dad saying something. Dad wants my attention. Same word, but my son knows me. That other person doesn't. So he wants us to get to know him so we know his word and we know when he's trying to tell something. Are we hearing what God is saying? Are we listening to what God is saying? Does it line up with all of Scripture? If it doesn't, are we hearing the voice of the enemy? Because he'll speak to you. If he'll speak to Christ, he'll speak to you. Is what you hear being said in a loving manner? If it's a battering ram or a 2x4, it isn't from God. Even if it's Scripture, God applies the word according to the word. In Romans 2:4, we're told, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God doesn't have to beat us over the head. He woos us. He loves us. Remember we talked about, he wants us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6, right? But he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. He said, I want you to pray for them, but hey, guess what? I'm going to bless you because you do. His love endures forever. At no time does God pick up a stick to bat us on the head. He's not playing whack-a-mole with us. If you got a God that's playing whack-a-mole, you're serving the wrong God. Probably God with a little g, because it's not the God Almighty who made heaven and earth, who sent his Son and doesn't condemn. As his flock, we need to know the shepherd. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can't know the shepherd. If you do know Jesus as Lord and Shepherd, Lord and Savior, you're part of God's flock. Then we need to listen to his voice. Sometimes it's just the soft, wooing singing of him saying, I'm near. Because he says, I never leave you or forsake you. I stick closer than a brother, right? He changes not. Amen? Amen? We need to follow him. And know when he's not leading us. We need to be safe in his pastures beside the still waters he leads us to. We know him and his voice by spending time with him and in his word. Amen. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Are you hearing the voice of your shepherd? The voice of your Lord? If you are, get deeper in the word, and you'll hear more from him. If you're not, get in the word and get to know him, because this whole Bible is a love letter from God to say, this is how I am. This is who I am. This is what I want from you. This is what I want to give you. So if you don't know him, the word tells us how to find him by asking him into our heart, believing that God raised him from the dead, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, basically saying yes to Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. He'll wipe away all your sins, cleanse you from all sins, and then he gives you his righteousness. He doesn't ask us to get there on our own. He did it all. Then get in the Word, get built up, edified, find yourself a good church if you don't have one somewhere. If you're not in a church, these people here that are here are in a good church. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a good Bible-believing, full gospel church. But at the same time, if somebody listening to this online or however you're getting a hold of this message, if you're not in a good church, you need to find one that believes the word and preaches the word and lives the word, and that the shepherd of that flock follows this teaching, that they will not lord it over, that they will live by example, and they want to see each of the flock built up and edified so they can go do services of works of service. Thank you, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, the word to guide us, and we can hear your voice. Heavenly Father, we just take this word and we ask it to go deep into the heart and minds of all the hearers. The enemy wants to steal this word, and I come against it in Jesus' name. Let the word be planted as seed into each and every heart that hears this. And I pray they mix it with faith, and it becomes profitable for them, and it grows, and it becomes a bumper crop in them of how to hear the voice of the shepherd. That as sheep, we just need to listen. We just need to learn who he is and follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.